I'd like to invite you to turn once again your Bibles to today's focus passage and New Testament reading, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Feel free to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can listen as I read these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. I may have told you this story before, but I have a ministry colleague who went through the pastor search process and was talking with the pastor search team, getting ready to accept a call to a new congregation. Of course, they had already been through the whole spiel of what's your experience, what's your philosophy of ministry, how will you lead us as the pastor of our church, what are some things you've done as a pastor that you may be able to utilize here, here's some issues we are dealing with, how will you address this, those kind of questions that a pastor is asked or a prospective pastor is asked before being called to a congregation. And so they went through the process, they kept getting further and further, and so they were prepared to hire him. Of course, the pastor search team also made some requests. They talked about things that they believed in or valued as a congregation. They talked about some items that were sensitive. And one of the final things they requested of the pastor upon hiring him was that he would not, under any circumstance, from the pulpit, talk about finances or giving. After about 20 years, my pastor friend is still employed at that church. So I assume either the church had a change in heart, and he's talked about giving, or he's been doing his job as requested. Whatever you do, don't preach on giving. Don't talk about finances. At a pastor's financial workshop I was at a few weeks ago, we learned that talking of finances or money is the most taboo topic to address in the life of a congregation. No, not issues surrounding human sexuality. No, that wasn't it. Not the subject of death and grief. We readily talk about that in church. Not the issue of hell, not the issue of war or pacifism, not hot-button issues. No, we're ready to talk about those in some way. It may take some time to get there, but what we really don't like to talk about is giving or finances in a theological sense. Yes, we'll talk about it in business meetings and in budget and finance meetings and things such as that, but when it comes to when we enter this place, this joyous place where we seek to be lifted up week by week by the Spirit and to become more like Jesus, don't bring that money talk into here. You see, money or finances, or maybe even more broadly, our resources of money or our time or our creativity, whatever it may be, it is our priorities. It signifies our priorities. It signifies our loyalties. It signifies our impulses. It signifies our responsibility or lack thereof. It signifies our past. It talks about our present. It talks about our future. It reminds us of our connection to our stuff, our fashion, our technology, our cars, our houses, you name it. And yet today's scripture, this letter from Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians, doesn't frame giving and money and generosity in this way. You see, today's scripture speaks of giving and finances in a healthy and holistic and joyful way, in a way that we should talk about and celebrate, not be hush-hush about. And so as we approach this Thanksgiving holiday, and I don't even mind saying the season of giving that is right around the corner, it's time that we rise to meet the most pressing challenge of generosity and giving. And no, I don't mean that in terms of percentages of how much you may or may not be giving. I don't mean that in regards to budgets, whether your personal budget or the church-wide budget, whatever it may mean. I'm not talking about a shortfall that you or the church may have, or a surplus that you or the church may have. We're not talking about some formula in regards to generosity or giving. The challenge of generosity, I believe, and I think the scripture reminds us of this, is to see generosity as joy and fulfillment, not as something we do reluctantly, not as something that drains us of what belongs to us, but seeing generosity as a commitment and a challenge that we rise to as we give, and becoming more joyful and finding life abundant because we are more willing to see generosity and giving as something that is to be celebrated and not something that is to be squelched or not discussed. Today's scripture is Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. It is believed that this letter arrived at the church at Corinth with Titus, and in many ways the letter was sent with the understanding that a collection would be taken for the church in Jerusalem, for the Christians in Jerusalem. And so the reason that we read of in this section of 2 Corinthians about money or about giving or generosity is because, well, in many ways Paul is taking an offering. Not in the same way we take an offering. It was understood that this church at Corinth would share their resources with the Christians in Jerusalem. And so in many ways, the truth of giving, the understanding that giving must be a part of the church, is already understood. What Paul seems to be addressing even more is the attitude behind the giving. The challenge of giving with joy. The challenge of giving with purpose, the challenge of giving and showing generosity under faith, and not as something that is done begrudgingly or reluctantly. You'll notice Paul doesn't present an amount. He doesn't say, you have in your bank account XX dollars, here's how much you need to share with the church at Jerusalem. He doesn't say, here's the percentage of your budget that you must share with the church at Jerusalem. Now, Paul doesn't go into formulas or an exact amount of what's right for the people to give. Paul goes down the road of suggesting that blessing and giving are not inseparable. That giving brings joy not just to the recipient, but also to those who give. Paul is saying, I'm receiving your offering, but I will only receive it if you give it generously, and if you give it with joy, and if you give it with cheer. In some ways, Paul is indirectly saying, I don't want your money if you're angry about this. In some ways, he's saying, I really don't care about your offering if you give this because you feel like you have to, or because you're obligated to, or because it's a drain on you. It's almost like he's saying, don't give it. Don't give your money if you do so out of anger. Paul is saying, give generously, give with joy, and you will be enriched because of this offering. Give because this is what you are called to do in the name of Christ, is what Paul is saying. In the book of Luke, Jesus says, give to others and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one God will use for you. I think Paul may have had this scripture in mind as he was writing this letter to the church at Corinth, saying that when you give, you will receive joy and blessing in return. Now, we need to be very careful. This does not imply that you will receive health or wealth if you choose to give. This does not imply that you will see personal prosperity or that life will be full of everything good and great if you choose to give generously because God calls you to. It's not suggesting that in a material way. By the way, this passage, of course, is often interpreted that way in churches across the world to the detriment of the gospel message. Once again, it's not implying that when you give or if you give, you will somehow see that money come back to you tenfold or something along those lines. But the Bible does tell us, and Jesus tells us, both in his teaching and the way he gives of himself to others, that it is in giving that we truly receive blessing. And if we are to trust this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who gave of himself and gave of his life for us, for the forgiveness of our sins and for the salvation of the world, then we should also believe, as Christians, as little Christs, that when we give of ourselves, we are blessing others across the world. We do that in faith, understand that we are not giving simply out of obligation or because we have to or because of some sort of social pressure. We give because we have faith that through God's Spirit, our generosity will be a blessing to others. And when we look on what God is doing with our resources, we will too be blessed abundantly. I mentioned the story of a pastor who was told not to teach or preach on giving. I'd like to share with you another story of another pastor friend. He was asked out to lunch by a member of his congregation. This pastor was told by this church member, you choose the place, and I think he chose some place like Five Guys or a burger joint or something like that. By the way, this congregant worked for Coca-Cola, and when they got to lunch and they had been eating, this church member said, "Pastor, I received a bonus in the seven figures at the end of this year, and I want to know how to tithe it." Pastor said, "If I had known that, we would have gone to a nicer place." But they entered into a one-time conversation and a continued conversation about the theological implications of giving. Not because he was prepared to give 10% of a seven-figure bonus that he had received. That was actually very secondary, perhaps even tertiary, to the discussion. The discussion was about the theological implications of generosity, what it means to give, how it would change the life of the church or perhaps the charity or the nonprofit or the Christian organization that this tithe might go to. And a few weeks later, the same congregant called this pastor back and said, "I'd like to take you out to lunch." And the pastor said, "Okay, should I choose the place or would you like to choose the place? I know where you could afford to take me." Kind of said in a joking, ribbing kind of way. He said, "No, there's really not much to discuss. I just want to take you out to lunch." And so they went out to lunch, and this executive at Coca-Cola said, I really don't have anything else to say. I just want to thank you for showing me the joy of giving." He said, "My life has changed ever since we had that conversation and ever since I wrote that check." He said, "My life has changed. I feel like life is more full. feel like I have grown in my discipleship because you showed me and helped me understand the joy and the point of giving. Giving is truly a lifestyle commitment. Giving is truly a lifestyle challenge. It's both. It's a commitment and it is a challenge. It's sacrificial. It's risky. It's vulnerable. But it is a challenge that in every circumstance we are told in the scriptures that will end with joy and abundance and thanksgiving, not just for the recipient of our generosity, but for those of us who choose to be generous and to give. We have a lot to be thankful for as we look towards Thursday. You will reflect on those things, perhaps with friends or family, or perhaps you will just think on those things about what you have to be thankful for. And in this month of December, as we've talked about Thanksgiving and generosity, I hope that you have seen the connection, that you don't regard Thanksgiving and generosity as two separate entities, but more like two sides of the same coin. This Coca-Cola executive who gave a large amount of his bonus check to a church learned about the connection between generosity and Thanksgiving, and it changed his life. I'm guessing not many of us in this room, I don't know what your bonus check looks like, but I'm guessing most of us in this room aren't going to have the opportunity to tithe a seven-figure bonus check. But that's not the point. The point is, you have something to give, because we have much to be thankful for. If you in this room are thankful for God's blessings on your life, if everyone in this room is thankful for friends, for family, for work, for education, for recreation, for a church family, you have something to be thankful for. And because you are thankful, you have something to give. You may be able to give something today. This isn't a one-time gift. I'm not about to send the offering plates back out. This is much more about a lifestyle commitment. This is much more about a lifestyle challenge. When you choose to give at First Baptist Church, or when you choose to give to some kind of mission or nonprofit, whatever it may be, I hope and pray that if you have along the way viewed it as some kind of drain on your life or bank account, or you've given reluctantly because of some kind of social pressure or whatever it may be, I hope that that outlook might change for you after hearing the scripture and hearing the true joy of giving. And so my challenge to you today, as we end this series on Thanksgiving and generosity, is ultimately Paul's challenge to the church. Give generously, but give with joy, and give with the expectation that God will bless your gift, but that God will also change your life and bless you and give you life to the full because you chose to give in the name of Christ. Let's think on those things as we anticipate the week of Thanksgiving. Oh God, we thank you so much for blessings beyond our wildest imagination. We can begin to count our blessings, but Lord, we know that you have given us many and that we may not be able to keep up. Lord, no matter where we are in life, no matter our income, no matter our life situation, we should be thankful this day that you have given us life and that you give it to us abundantly. We ask that today, as we reflect on those things that we are thankful for, that you would also help us to orient our lives around generosity. that giving of ourselves and our resources, whether it's finances or our time or our energy or our creativity, whatever it may be, that it's not to be a drain on us, that it's not to be given reluctantly, but that it is to be given with joy. And that, Lord, is where we truly find abundant life. Lord, perhaps the only motivation that we need to be cheerful givers is to remain aware at all times of how your Son gave his life for us. At no time did Jesus ever mention or act like it wasn't his calling, or that he wouldn't give his life for us. Help that to be our attitude as well. In Jesus' name we pray.